I want to start out by turning to Matthew 7, chapter, starting with the 15th verse. It says, "Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them." And this is true. This is true whether those fruits be evil fruits, ye will know those by their fruits, or whether they be good fruits, the fruits of those who are righteous. In John 15, I want to read a few verses there, starting with the first verse. It says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me." So to bear these fruits that I'm going to be talking about here this evening, we have to abide in Christ. Let me continue here. "I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples." And the 16th verse there says, "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you." And what are these fruits that the righteous should put forth? I think we all know where to turn to. In Galatians 5, in verses 22 and 23, it says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." Let me reread those. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. You can contrast those with the works of the flesh that are given just above that, but it is not my purpose here to read those at this time. Instead, I want to turn to a parable given in Matthew in the 25th chapter. And I want to read there verses 14 through 30. 25th chapter of Matthew, starting with verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according as his several ability, and straightway took his journey. I want you to notice that he gave to every man according to his several ability. Then he that had received 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. And likewise he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. And after a long time the Lord of the servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. And isn't that what we want to hear? Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I gained other 2 talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. He didn't receive as much, but he still was able to enter into the joy of the Lord. Verse 24, then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant. Thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gathered where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which has 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, but he that and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And I believe here that that person that received, that servant that received 1 talent, if he had have gone out to usury and received 1 other talent, that he would too have been given the news that he was to receive or enter into the joy of the Lord. But he did not. And I believe the true meaning of this parable that I have just read is not to increase our money by usury or even to increase our talents of singing and speaking and writing, etc. But Not that these talents, to increase these talents, isn't a good goal, but I believe the real meaning is that all of us are given certain attributes to which we must add. And some are given more than others, some less, but all need to add to that we are given. In 1 Peter, or in 2 Peter rather, the first chapter, I wanted to read verses 5 through 7. It says, "And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity." The list again started with faith, adding virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. And I believe these are steps to obtain that the Lord commanded us to do in Matthew 5:48, where he said, "Be ye therefore perfect, even as my Father, as your Father in heaven is perfect." These steps in 2 Peter are steps to perfection. It's not an impossible goal, or the Lord would not have said it. And I don't believe that these steps are necessarily, at least, the same as the fruits, because fruits are a result of an effort, the results of an effort, whether they be the plowing and planting and caring for crops and harvesting them to receive the fruits thereof, or whether they are steps towards obtaining the fruits of the Spirit. Because I want to read verse 8. "For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." And not only in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we will also have the other fruits. Now, you may have noticed that some of these that I just read here in these steps that I say are steps towards perfection are the same or similar to these back in Galatians, where it talks about the fruits of the Spirit. I want to turn to turn to Alma 16, and that's on page 423. I want to read several verses here, starting with verse 149. It's talking about faith here. Faith is one that is both given as one of the fruits of the Spirit, and it's also the first step given in the attributes of 2 Peter. It says here, "Now as I said concerning faith, that it was not a perfect knowledge, even so it is with my words. Ye cannot know of their surety at first unto perfection, any more than faith is a perfect knowledge. But behold, if ye will awake and arouse your faculties, even to an experiment upon my words, and exercise a particle of faith, a particle of faith that we all can exercise, yea, even if ye can no more than desire to believe, let this desire work in you, even until ye believe in a manner that can give place for a portion of my words. Now we will compare the word unto a seed. And in another place in the scripture, it compares faith to a mustard seed. Now if ye give place, that seed may be planted in your heart. Behold, if it is a true seed or a good seed, if ye do not cast it out by your unbelief, that ye will resist the Spirit of the Lord, behold, it would begin to swell within your breasts. And when you feel these swelling motions, ye will begin to say within yourselves, it must needs be that this is a good seed, or that the word is good, for it beginneth to enlarge my soul, yea, it beginneth to enlighten my understanding. Yea, it beginneth to be delicious to me. And now behold, would not this increase your faith? I say unto you, yea, nevertheless it hath not grown up to a perfect knowledge. But behold, as the seed swelleth and sprouteth and beginneth to grow, then ye must needs say that the seed is good. For behold, it swelleth and sprouteth and beginneth to grow. And now, behold, will not this strengthen your faith? Yea, it will strengthen your faith, for ye will say, I know that this is a good seed, for behold, it sprouteth and beginneth to grow. And now, behold, are ye sure that this is a good seed? I say unto you, yea, for every seed bringeth forth unto its own likeness. Therefore, if a seed groweth, it is good. But if it groweth not, behold, it is not good, therefore it is cast away. And now behold, because ye have tried the experiment and planted the seed, and it swelleth and sprouteth and beginneth to grow, ye must needs know that the seed is good. And now behold, is your knowledge perfect? Yea, your knowledge is perfect in that thing, and your faith is dormant. And this is because you know, for ye know that the word hath swelled your souls, and ye also know that it hath sprouted up, that your understanding doth begin to enlighten, and your mind doth begin to expand. O then, is not this real? I say unto you, yea, because it is light. Whatsoever is light is good, because it is discernible. Therefore ye must needs know that it is good. And now behold, after ye have tasted this light, is your knowledge perfect? Behold, I say unto you, nay, neither must you lay aside your faith, for you have only exercised your faith to plant the seed, that ye might try the experiment to know that the seed is good. And behold, as the seed beginneth to grow, ye will say, let us nourish it with great care, that it may get root, that it may grow up and bring forth fruit unto us. And it may bring forth a fruit unto us. And now behold, if ye nourish it with much care, it will get root and grow up and bring forth fruit. But if ye neglect the tree and take no thought for its nourishment, behold, it will not get any root. And when the heat of the sun cometh and scorcheth it, because it hath no root, it withers away, and ye pluck it up and cast it out. Now this is not because the seed was not good, neither is it because the fruit thereof would not be desirable, but it is because your ground is barren and ye will not nourish the tree, therefore ye cannot have the fruit thereof. And thus it is, if ye will not nourish the word, looking forward with an eye of faith to the fruit thereof, ye can never pluck the fruit of the tree of life. But if you will nourish the word, yea, nourish the tree as it beginneth to grow, by your faith with great diligence and with patience, looking forward to the fruit thereof, it shall take root. And behold, it shall be a tree springing up unto everlasting life. And because of your diligence and your faith and your patience with the word in nourishing it, that it may take root in you, behold, by and by ye shall pluck the fruit thereof, which is most precious, which is sweet above all that is sweet, which is white above all that is white, yea, and pure above all that is pure. And ye shall feast upon this fruit, even until ye are filled, that ye hunger not, neither shall ye thirst. Then, my brethren, ye shall reap the rewards of your faith and your diligence and patience and long-suffering, waiting for the tree to bring forth fruit unto you. I want you to notice that that is a growing process. Faith then grows to bear fruit, and I believe one of those fruits is faith itself. More faith. Now, one or two of these attributes that we mentioned in 2 Peter by themselves will not bear fruit in our lives unless we do add to them. I want to look briefly at some of the scriptures that tell about some of the fruits. And we'll start with one that tells about love. In 1 John, excuse me. In the fourth chapter, I'm going to read verses 7 through 21. It says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Here is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be a propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known that and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment hath we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also." I think in in verse 11, where it says, "Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another," indicates that we do need to work towards it. And in verse 12, I believe this is talking about a fruitage. If we love God, if we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Now to John 13:35. Where it says, "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." But it takes just a little bit more than this, as we read in the fifth chapter of Matthew, in verse 44, where it says, where Christ says, "But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you." So we must love. This love must show in our lives, not even to those who love us, but to those who are hate us and despitefully use us. In Mark, the 12th chapter, in the 28th verse, we read of the two great commandments, 28 through 31. "And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, and perceiving what he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like his life, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these." In verse 30, the first and great commandment is to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, might, mind, and strength. And if you look at the definition of charity given in the Book of Mormon, it says it is the pure love of God. This is the perfection that I have been talking about. There's a lot more I can read on each of these fruits, but time will not permit me to go into great detail, so I want to read something about a verse or two of joy. You know, there's a Chinese proverb that says, "One joy scatters 100 griefs." One joy in our life can work in our lives in such a way that we forget the griefs of life. And in 2 Nephi, the first chapter, and this is on page 86, the 115th verse says, "Adam fell that men might be, and men are, that they might have joy. We're here that we might have joy, as we read there. Not just the one joy, as stated in that proverb, that Chinese proverb, but many joys. Alma 14 tells of a joy that Alma had. Page 398. I want to read that. Starting with verse 90. And it came to pass that when Ammon had said these words, and his brethren Aaron rebuked him, saying, it's Ammon here, saying, Ammon, I fear that thy joy does carry thee away unto boasting. But Ammon said unto him, I do not boast in my own strength or in my own wisdom, but behold, my joy is full, yea, my heart is brim with joy. And I will rejoice in my God, yea, I know that I am nothing. As to my strength, I am weak. Therefore I will not boast of myself, but I will boast of my God. For in his strength I can do all things. Yea, behold, many mighty miracles we have wrought in this land, for which we will praise his name forever. Behold, how many thousands of our brethren has he loosed from the pains of hell, and they are brought to sing redeeming love. And this because of the power of his word, which is in us. Therefore have we not great reason to rejoice? Yea, we have reason to praise him forever. For he is the Most High God, and has loosed our brethren from the chains of hell. Yea, they were encircled about with everlasting darkness and destruction. But behold, he hath brought them unto his everlasting light, yea, unto everlasting salvation. And they are encircled about with his matchless bounty of his love. Can you just feel the joy that Ammon had there because of what he had been able to accomplish through the Lord? And he wasn't boasting in his strength. He was boasting in the Lord. Yea, and we have been instruments in his hands of doing this great and marvelous work. Therefore, let us glory. Yea, we will glory in the Lord. Yea, we will rejoice, for our joy is full. Yea, we will praise our God forever. Behold, who can glory too much in the Lord? Yea, who can say too much of his great power and of his mercy and of his long-suffering towards the children of men? Behold, I say unto you, I cannot say the smallest part which I feel. Who could have supposed that our God would have been so merciful as to have snatched us from our awful, sinful, and polluted state? I think that's enough to read there on that one. In Romans 14, verses 17 through 19, it says, For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another. So in that one, in that reading, it mentions joy and peace. And the things which make for peace, and the things wherein one may edify another. You know, I want to just mention one thing here. This joy is not the same as the thrills and excitements that we seek in the world. You know, like the amusement parks and the sporting events and the and this type of thing. They're just cheap substitutes to this joy that we can feel of the Holy Ghost working in our lives. I'll read a verse in Psalms, the 29th Psalm, and verse 11. The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. I think we all have seen and know of people that seem to have a peace in their soul. This is from God. This is a fruit in their lives, a fruit that we should desire in ours. John 14. And 27. Says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And it will not if we have that peace in our lives. Philippians 4. In verses 4 through 9. Rejoice always. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men, the Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known, made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ, through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. In Matthew 5:9 it says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. We can read a little bit about long suffering, and it mentions a couple other things too in the first chapter of Colossians. I have the page number written down so I can find it quickly. Verses 9 through 11. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. This is Paul speaking. that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. Some of these you'll just have to read the rest of the chapter and yourself, because I do not have time now to do so. In Alma, the 10th chapter, on page 351, verse 27 through 29 says, "And now, my brethren, I wish from the innermost part of my heart, yea, with great anxiety, even unto pain, that ye would hearken unto my words, and cast off your sins, and not procrastinate the day of your repentance, but that ye would humble yourselves before the Lord, and call on his holy name, and watch and pray continually, that ye may not be tempted above that which ye can bear, and that ye be led by the Holy Spirit, becoming humble, meek, submissive, patient, full of love, and all long-suffering, having faith on the Lord." Again in Alma 5, where we're in the book of Alma, page 325, verse 39, says, "And now I would that ye should be..." Oh, that's what I just read. Okay. I'm going to go to the Psalms. I want to go to the 23rd Psalm. For some of you, I probably wouldn't have to read it. You know it by heart. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." I've covered a little bit on several of the fruits. A couple of those may have mentioned meekness, but also in Matthew 5:5, it says, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." And isn't that what it was saying in the sixth verse of Psalm 23? So what I've been preaching about here, these fruits, they will show forth in the saints of God, the true saints. These fruits showing forth in the saints are to be a light to the world, a testimony, a witness that the life of righteousness and truth is far better than anything that the world has to offer. "By their fruits ye shall know them." And in addition to enjoying these fruits in this life, we have an even greater reward, a reward of salvation in the life hereafter. I thank you.